You know what? I know I've been doing it for the last 17 shows, but why don't you host this one?
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And I'm Ian Boothby. Hi, everybody.
And this is the first show I've hosted in 6 weeks.
That's right. Your probation is over. We've lifted the sanctions, and now you can address the people directly instead of just talking through me, your lawyer. It's okay.
That's fine.
You
did a great job.
You always had to stay 10 characters away from the audience at all times.
Yeah, that's how I like to do it.
That's right.
I keep me and Kevin Bacon between me and other people at all times.
There you are. I had a little bit of a scare.
That wasn't even a sentence.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. We're really just starting the show. Don't worry. This is all garbage for the first 15 minutes. But before we started, I had a little scare because we've had things in the building where fuses have been blowing lately, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, our next-door neighbors, they're new and they don't know you don't put in the fridge and the fry cooker and whatever other things you got.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't have that because it's a business office.
Sure.
But, like,
don't turn the dryer and the refrigerator on at the same time.
Right. And so it blows out both of our walls, like both the walls in the office. The lights stay on, though,
is
what happens.
Okay.
So just before you came in,
mm-hmm.
I've got the computer and I'm setting everything up and then I got to turn on the heater because it's cold and I'm like, maybe I'll just turn the heater up a little higher. So I turn it up a little higher, and all the power in the block goes out.
Oh, the whole block.
The whole block goes out. Like, just then,
what have you done?
Yeah. And it was not a good feeling. It was like, because I did think it was like me and just the things on the side. Then I realized, I don't have this kind of ability to black out a whole block. So it was fine. Maybe I do have that ability.
Yeah.
Why am I underestimating myself?
Exactly.
I could, like, ruin society. I could pull a Snake Plissken in Escape from L.A. I could black out the world.
Is that what happens?
Spoilers.
Yeah, please don't spoil that movie that he rides on a tidal wave, or he rides on a weak wave.
Yeah, is he being chased by Bruce Campbell at the time, who's, like, in... He's the plastic surgeon of Beverly Hills, and he's got, like, crazy face.
I forgot about that. Oh, I have to watch that movie again, obviously, because I don't remember any of that.
I think a better idea is go to YouTube and watch clips.
Why? Why not just watch the movie again?
Well, I guess if you're immortal, you got all that time, go for it. Watch the whole thing.
That's true.
Watch that thing where he throws basketballs for, I don't know, 20 minutes.
It doesn't take that long.
Swish, swish, swish. Speaking of movies that took forever. Just real quick, too, before whatever we get to talking about.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to talk about this too much. I watched the Amy Schumer. That's her. Not
Trainwreck?
Yeah, I watched Trainwreck.
Okay.
And I made the mistake. I made the Dave warns you don't do this.
Oh, you watched the unrated version of a comedy.
Yeah, I'm like,
not a good idea.
I see some extra jokes.
No.
Yeah.
You don't want to see the extra jokes.
Well, it's just, look, man. It was a shame because, like, all the Amy Schumer stuff, really good. Like, there's, like, small things and dark things and personality things and little faces she makes. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then you get the Judd Apatow, who directed it, bits where it's just her talking to another person and the person reacting, then back over her doing basically the same line again. It's like, now have fun with it. Now do one where you're a little loose. Now do one where you're a little mad. And the friend is like, oh, you're still saying the same thing. This is the way it goes. It's just like, oh, it's the Cannonball Run over the credits clips. But you put them in the movie, and it just drags the movie so slow. It's like, no one talks like this, so stop it. You can't then have the emotional ride that you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is the thing. She's good.
I just want you to repeat one thing.
Please.
I had warned you about this, right?
Yes.
I did warn. I have warned people. I'm not just warning you. I'm warning everyone. Do not watch comedies, unrated versions.
But here's what it's like. It's like someone goes, would you like the steak and potatoes and peas? Yeah, I would. Okay, we got the steak and potatoes and peas.
Mm-hmm.
We got the steak and potatoes and peas and watermelon.
Sounds great.
No, it actually doesn't go well together.
Oh.
Really doesn't. It actually, in fact, the watermelon runs off into the steak and the peas and ruins it. But you think it's just one thing. I can push it aside or ignore it, and I've still got – it's more, so I should get more. No, don't.
You're leaving one part out of this, though, which is a lot of swearing because they're improvising, and so they can't help themselves but add a lot of fuck to it.
Except, like, I think her character in this is so blue off the top anyway that you don't really – that's not an issue.
Okay.
Right. And then they do all these big
– But it is an issue in the sense that you can swear too much in a film or anything. You can swear too much, and it kind of goes from, you know, okay, they're swearing to what the hell.
Do you feel that about like a Tarantino, like a Reservoir Dogs? I'm thinking of the sweariest movie I can think of.
That is a pretty sweary film, and It was kind of outrageous, but that film is so over the top that you kind of it does kind of
you just turn into one big giant ball of
yeah. Yeah.
Here's the thing I want to say about the Amy
Schumer. I think if you're trying to be natural, mm-hmm. it can be too much. That film is not.
You're leading me into what I want to say about the Schumer film.
Okay.
Which was, it sure would have been nice if they had a natural third act, whereas it felt like the first act you're introduced to this character is really interesting. That's great. And there's
her character.
Yeah, really. Yeah, really interesting.
Okay.
And then, you know, the people she's things, and I haven't seen this character as like the protagonist in a movie before. Is she sad? Is she happy? I don't know. Is she doing this? Well, you don't know. But and then she, you know, falls for a guy. You know how that goes. And then we get a third act.
I've fallen for a guy.
There you are. Thank you. Well, that's nice of you to say. And then the third act. It's just all movie shit. It's like all the stuff that you would have to have in every movie,
okay.
Whether it was like a John Cusack.
Is there a chase sequence?
There's running. There's a little running, yeah. I got to get to the thing on time. There is.
Okay, okay.
And then a big stunt. You know, there's that.
Okay.
It's all the stuff, you know, why are you breaking up? No fucking reason. Because it's the third act. And it's
are
time
two
to
guys
break
crossing
up.
A road with a plate of glass?
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah, basically. It's all these things that you're just... I mean, there's some stuff where they
does
comment
that bother
on
you?
It.
Does that bother you if a movie plays the beats, you know what I mean? Like
if there's no twist on it.
Well, you really want a twist.
Well, but here was the thing.
What like if it does it really well?
Yeah, it's fine then. Yeah, do
but you're
it
not
really
excited
well.
By it. You're
do,
not excited
do the best
by
version
it.
of if you've got a really good version of going through glass.
Yeah,
knock yourself out. I'm
okay.
In.
Okay, all right.
But they had like a movie in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, and it looked like it was like a romantic comedy. Like, oh, you're spoofing what this movie could be. But then the movie goes and does what that movie would do. So that movie makes no sense in that movie. And though they did do one thing with it, which I did like, which they went to see a movie in the theater, and then at one point, one of them is watching the movie on cable, and I went, "That's good passage of time. I now know exactly how much time you dated from you saw the movie in the theater, and now it's on cable. That's just a couple of months. All right, good, I got it." But yeah, they do a thing in it as well, which they do a full ripoff of a Woody Allen montage, you know, romantic montage,
okay.
Like a Manhattan
situation. So it goes black and white.
It doesn't go black and white,
I heard
but it
goes Gordon
all
Willis.
The same locations and
oh,
kind of things
yeah.
And
okay.
The same music.
Sure.
And then they do like a cheap joke about Woody Allen at the end, which is, you know, it's that joke that you're going to fucking do, right?
Ooh.
Not the worst joke you could do, but it's that. It's just like, bleh. Okay, fine, do it. And it's and the drag was...
I wish people could see that facial expression.
But the drag was, there was a second punchline, and the second punchline was a great punchline.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really good gag.
Yeah.
And you ruined it by like, oh, we've got two gags. Let's use them both. No, fuck it, man. Pick and fucking choose. You know, you don't have to put every note into the song,
yeah.
Buddy. Yeah. So Judd Apatow needs to calm the hell down, and Amy Schumer... I think is better served by television because television is a better medium for this kind of thing, and you can achieve more things in television.
You think Bridesmaids would have been better as a TV show rather than a movie?
Well, after seeing Aziz Ansari's Master of None, which I know you were also watching,
yeah.
I saw that, and that's a show about a relationship, right?
Okay.
And I don't think like you could have had that show.
I've watched it all. I've seen
okay.
Three episodes.
Well, there's
but it's really good.
It's really good. Yeah, and you know it's about a relationship, and it could have been a movie, and it would have been fine. But in a TV show, you do have that room to play and make it real and stretch it out and
yeah.
And if you know if you're a Judd Apatow, yeah, stretch it fucking out. I really haven't seen Girls past season one, but maybe that's kind of thing he's doing on there, and maybe that's good. People seem to like that, so you know it's getting more critical acclaim
you
than movies
snob.
Do because I like TV more than film. That seems a reverse thing for a snob to do. I don't even own a movie theater.
Movie.
I'll be watching television, sir.
A movie theater.
Popcorn, gauche.
Yes.
I'm ordering a pizza pie.
What I like about Master of None is...
How many have you seen, by the way?
I've seen three of them.
Very good.
You know, I've seen up to the Terrible Girlfriend, or a Terrible Date
okay.
Show, which I quite enjoyed. I don't know if that's three or four. But anyway, yeah, it's really good because it doesn't fall... it hasn't fallen into the terrible sitcom trap of the misunderstandings.
Nope.
The you know the kind of that and it's not mean. No one's making digs at each
everyone
other.
Everyone is trying to be nice to everybody,
and I like that. Not that everyone's trying to be nice to each other, but everyone's just being people to each other. Like when you live in the world, not everyone isn't always insulting each other and
no,
throwing little barbs.
I think people
and
are trying to be decent generally to each other in the thing, with some exceptions of like the side characters who can be bad people. But
yeah.
For the most part, your protagonists are people who are trying to be good.
Besides this friend who gives him very bad advice all the time.
Yeah, that kind of
bearded
mellows,
friend.
Yeah, that kind of mellows out a little bit later, and
okay.
He becomes less of that totally cartoonish guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the guy from Tim and Eric. He's the Eric from Tim and Eric.
I don't know.
It's a very surrealist show.
Okay.
Yeah. They used to be Tom Goes to the Mayor was a show that they did. And then it was Tim and Eric's Something Awesome show. They've had movies. People love them. I've seen them live. I don't quite get it because I don't see the show. But if it's absurdist craziness that you probably would have loved if you were at 11. It would have been your favorite show.
Well, all I'll say to that is banana.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. But no, it's a great, it's just a fun show. I just like how optimistic and happy
well,
it
let's
is
mention
so
then
far.
Let's mention so this, far. The second episode of that show, which I think was
Parents,
where you, it's about a person who's Indian American. And in this story, it's about his friend who is Asian American.
Yes.
I know Indian is also Asian.
His parents are Taiwanese.
That's right. And so you have conversations with the parents and then you flash back to the parents' journeys and they play it for both, you know, drama and comedy very, very nicely and balance it off quite well. And you go, wow, yeah, everyone's got like a full story. And in most sitcoms, you would reduce this character now to a stereotype and just like always the grumpy dad only says like a couple of things. But you kind of in this go, why does he only say a couple of things? You know?
And it's also interesting that Aziz Ansari uses his actual parents.
I didn't know it was his mom. I knew it was his dad because the two of them went on Colbert together.
Okay.
But the mom is great. The mom I completely buy. It's just that vacuous, I don't like Chinese food, so I'm just going to eat white rice.
Yeah.
No, I'll just do it. I'll be mad about it, but I'm going to be here quietly and just eating this white rice.
Yeah.
I'll tell him about it at home later. Yeah, it's absolutely right. That totally works.
Yeah. No, it's a good show. Are you looking forward to, is it called Alias Jennifer Jones?
AKA Jessica Jones.
I really blew that, everybody.
Yeah, didn't pass the bechamel test.
All our notes, the bechamel test. You know that you just made a joke for something that hasn't been in the show. Yeah, it does. The show doesn't pass it, or I didn't pass it?
I don't know. I prefer Hollandaise
myself. I passed
myself.
Something. You prefer Hollandaise? Yeah. Bechamel isn't that great. I think it's overrated, quite frankly, of all these sauces.
Okay. Listen, you don't enjoy a Dutch pancake, do you?
No, I don't. It's not that I don't enjoy it.
You don't go there.
I just don't go there.
If you went and you had, listen, man, if you were
I'm not into plate-sized food.
Okay, well, that's your full panic cook. But the eggs Benedict, oh, man, it's the best breakfast there is. So good.
Why is it the best breakfast
there is? That's your poached egg, which is like, you know, soft-cooked poached egg.
Sure.
Edam cheese on a nice Dutch rusk. You got like your hollandaise and your hash browns.
What's a rusk, by the way?
A rusk is like it's a very crisp bread, but not crisp as in like dense.
It's not like Melba toast. It's like Melba toast, or
it's lighter than Melba toast. You can take like put it between two fingers and just move your fingers. It like shatters like that, easy peasy.
Wow.
Whereas Melba toast, you got a little bit of a ugh before it pops. No, it's very good. Your fork goes through it at a nice thing. Oh, beautiful. You can get it. You can get like the eggs hollandicked. That's you get like a little ham if you want, and you get traditional, whatever you want. But oh man, eggs Benedict are so damn good. Tasty. That's my like go to breakfast.
All right.
Yeah. We're gonna be hanging out with after this with a former friend of the show, Louise Moon.
Yes.
And
I don't think she's a former friend. She's never been on the show.
She's never actually been on the show?
No.
Has she just been in the room or around?
She's she's a regular correspondent.
Right. That's why I'm thinking. Yeah. So, because she's always like writing in. Sorry, Louise. Come on the damn show sometime if you'd like. But she has like, she used to have the cards where you have the stamps and everything. We'd collect the stamps and we couldn't go, if we were going for breakfast, we had to go to the official restaurant because there's one that's like the original restaurant, but they don't get the stamps. So, oh.
Okay.
Oh, it's complicated. But either way, it's win-win, delicious, and it won me over for hollandaise sauce.
Sure. Well, Louise grew up during World War II, so she likes her ration books where she has like stamps and the green stamps.
Yeah. Women love it when you call them old. You're going to see her very shortly. By the way, you know she listens to this show, right?
But not immediately after we finish
No.
She's not going to hear
this.
See you
in a week. See you in a week, fucker. Good luck.
I'm gonna be seeing her. She's not gonna know.
That is a slow bomb.
The terrible knife.
We are lighting the Mission Impossible fuse at the beginning of this.
She won't see the knife that I've firmly planted in her back until I'm gone, long gone.
No, but I know you enjoy for your eggs, Dedrick. You enjoy your bechamel sauce.
It's not bechamel. It's béarnaise sauce.
Oh, what's that, béarnaise?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't like a bechamel either.
You didn't pass the béarnaise test. Well, you didn't pass, motherfucker.
Okay.
I just thought I'd. I'll throw a little inappropriate swearing into the show.
Okay, back to why Netflix is fantastic.
I want this show to be more like a Judd Apatow film.
Here's the thing. Netflix is so good this month.
Yeah.
That I've completely forgotten that there was like a Bob and David thing.
Yeah, that's that came right. out. I haven't seen that
totally
yet.
Totally forgot about it.
Oh,
I did. I've seen it. It's good.
Yeah.
But
is it as good as Mr. Show?
Well, here's the thing. It's a very different show than that. It's a tough comparison. They're both sketch shows.
Okay.
But it's the right show for now. If you did a show at the same pace as Mr. Show now, everyone would be, whoa, slow down, buddy. Slow down. Slow down.
Why?
It's fine. Calm down. Too fast.
Really?
Yeah, I think
so. You think our comedy slowed down?
Yeah.
Really?
I think things like Key and Peele or Amy Schumer,
yeah,
those kind of shows,
you're right,
you know, just slow it down.
They'd really...
Let's examine that character a bit.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Around a bit.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's interesting because movies have sped up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, watch a James Bond film from the 60s and tell me that movies have not sped up. But
except that the latest James Bond film is almost like 2.5 hours for sped up. A lot of fast things happening in
a
long movie.
But a lot of fast things happening in a long movie, that's right. I mean, because Casino Royale is very long as well. I think it's 3 days long.
It's not as long as this one.
It's not as long as that one.
No, it is not.
It's 4 days long.
Fair enough.
I don't mean that feels like it's that long, but I just mean they're long films. There's lots of stuff happening.
James Bond films have always been long films.
With Casino Royale, you know, you feel like it's ended and then it starts over again.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you're kind of like, what's going on? Like, is this the coda? This is weird. But anyway, I haven't seen Spectre yet, so I'm not going to comment on it.
Okay.
I'm going to see it this
Here's
weekend.
Here's all the spoilers.
I'm going to see it this weekend. It would be kind of funny. I think it would have been better.
He actually gets smart.
It would be better if they were still in litigation with the original owner of the person who owns the rights to Spectre and stuff like that, and they just called it Smursh.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind of fun.
Do they own Smursh as well? Or?
Yeah, that was what they replaced Spectre with.
That's a weird one. Spectre is so cool. And then what is it? Smursh.
Smursh.
Is it because they didn't want them to want to get power and take Smursh? And they wouldn't want Smursh because there's nothing you do with Smursh. But Spectre, if you had a movie that was just called, Spectre.
Yeah.
But if you had a movie and you had the rights to Spectre,
yeah,
and your movie was not featuring James Bond, but was just the evil organization Spectre, I'd go see that. That sounds interesting. I'd go check those
a
guys
movie
out.
About an evil organization?
Yeah.
But it wouldn't really have much of a story arc, would it?
Depends what you do with it.
Are you going to have like the villain as your main character?
Depends
and you're going to be rooting
maybe,
for him?
Maybe something worse comes and the villain becomes the hero. Friends become enemies. Enemies become friends. Up is down, left is right in this crazy world.
I guess you could do that.
Double agents, triple agents.
But you better do it well because that's been done so many times before.
I think any movie that you spend money on, you should do it well. That's me.
I'm just joking. You know, I've been talking with a fellow at work who's a big movie fan.
All right. I don't like you talking to people at work. You got time to lean, you got time to clean, Dedrick.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I say.
And I kind of feel like this person talks too much, and I'm like eager to get back to work, and he's yakking away.
Ah, so any chance he's listening to the podcast?
I don't think so.
Okay.
He likes soccer podcasts.
Okay.
We're not talking about footy. I don't know how to describe his... He's a snob. That's what he is. You know, like, you talk about movies, you're like, oh, I really like Aliens 2. He's like, Aliens 2? P-U.
Oh, that so he only rhymes everything that he hates? Aliens 2, P-U? He'll do that for everyone?
I did not say that. That was me. I put that in there.
Willy Wonka? What a stonka.
Because I'm a poet, and I was not aware of it.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
I saw the joke from Lisa. She said that the other night. I got to give credit where credit
good
is
job,
due.
Lisa.
Yeah, it was a good joke.
Former friend of the show.
Former friend of the show. And, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. And yeah, he doesn't like Aliens 2.
But he likes Alien.
But he likes Alien.
Well, I could see. If you're a big Alien fan.
But he'd rather watch.
Aliens is a weird film, like, after you've seen, like, the artsy Alien. And then it's, rah! I mean, it's entertaining, but it's a very different movie.
It is a different film, but it's still a
your
good
horror
film.
Movie becomes an action film.
Yeah, but you don't judge films by, you shouldn't really judge films, I mean, really, you shouldn't judge films by your expectation of what that film should be. You should judge that film by what it is. Don't you agree?
But you don't know what it is. Sorry. Choking a little. You don't know what it is till you're done.
Yeah.
So you've got to judge it throughout. So you've got expectations. So you come in, you're like, oh, I loved Alien. Okay, here are the... Oh, it's an action movie, huh? Okay. I mean, in some cases, you know, like Terminator was also kind of almost a slasher movie. There's very little difference between the original Terminator film and like Jason or something. It's this monster that's coming and killing everyone in the way until it's the woman and she kills him at the last second. And it's, you know, it's all the horror tropes. And the second
she
film.
She says, famously says, have a nice day.
Sure.
When she kills him.
That's right.
It's famous.
And gives him a kiss on the head.
It's good night.
Yeah.
Sweet prince. And she pulls a big piece of stainless, like big sheet metal up over top of him and tucks him in for the night.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Good night.
And then the second film, they go action, sci-fi.
Yeah.
You know, hopeful. And then the next film, they go, fuck hope, depressing, bummer, but still action. Then the fourth film, then the fifth film, ka-ka-ka-ka-ka.
Did you see it? Did you see it?
Yeah. Crack-a-coo-ca-ca.
I have to catch up. I haven't seen four.
It's a good film to watch on a plane, I guess.
Is that right?
Yeah. There's elements I like to it. But it's not by any means good. But same thing with Alien. You know, if you you're Alien 1, horror movie, you know, almost a haunted house movie.
Sure.
Second film, action film, really good. Third film, prison movie. Fourth film, I don't know what you're playing at, man. Fifth film, I don't know what we're counting as the fifth film at this point. Are we counting Prometheus?
Is there a fifth film?
Are we counting Alien versus Predator? Are we counting anywhere that Alien shows up?
I don't think any of those films fall into the canon.
You don't think Prometheus counts? Nope. Well, the next Prometheus film is connected to Alien, like directly.
As a little girl said in Boyhood, nope, nope, nope.
All right. Fairty nufty.
No, I just don't, because neither of those films have, I don't know, they don't follow, well, I think, to me, in order to be Alien related, it has to have Ripley in it. That's a key. That's the key kind of continuity between those films.
So how many times can she show up and be the sole survivor and before it becomes just like, well, you're just a terrible friend. You know, you're like getting
she's not really their friend. She's kind of roped into to aliens.
Yeah. By that point, it's okay.
It's not like she's their bud. She's just there as a observer or something like that who happens to be the only one who can fire a big giant gun thing on
by the fourth film, she's Batman. And you just, okay, forget it. You know, she's miles from like what she was in the first.
Yeah. I have the Alien, is it Tetralogy? The box set has all four films, but I have to admit I've only watched the first two.
That was sponsored by Tetris.
Yes.
That version.
That's right. Yep. They fit together very, very well. And,
Don't line them up. You have to buy them again.
You have to buy them
again. Yeah, they're all gone.
But I haven't watched the third and the fourth one, mostly because they're really bad.
Yeah.
So there's no point.
And then, they are doing a new one where it's like they're ignoring the third and the fourth one.
But this guy, I forgot to mention that. He condemned Aliens in favor of Alien 3. Which to me, you know, that's snobby.
Okay.
Because you're just taking like an unpopular position and just, you know, there's obviously no way to really defend it. It's just, you know, well, that's just how I feel. You know?
I mean, it's kind of an interesting idea to change your genres every movie, you know, and make them completely different. See if you can, well, what else can you do with the concept of an alien? So what does an alien mean to you? Okay, it's this, and then it's this, then it's this, then it's this, though. I don't think that's what they were going with.
I think it's interesting when a film franchise does that, when it does change director and does change ideas. Mm-hmm. Like, it was pretty courageous of them to do a big budget second film and have a totally different vision for it than the first film. That's pretty brave, really, when you think about it.
Now, I know nothing of the history of it, but when I saw that, I thought they were going to do this movie anyway and went, let's tie it into Alien. Am I wrong?
I think you're wrong. I think it was...
Because whenever I see that much of a genre leap, it makes me think that, without any connection to the original director.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just like, well, how about this guy? You know, and that's, you know, then what the rest of the movies kind of were.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was quite a long time period between the two films, but I think it was, I think that they spent time developing it. We talked about this when we had your friend on the show, Patrick Soriel, was on the show, and we were talking about the third one. And that was like one of the very first times that a film, in my memory, where a film was almost publicly developed, like you could see it being developed in front of you from its initial inception, the original ideas of it, through the stages till the final terrible product, which you didn't get to see with Alien. You know, you don't see that with Aliens. So we're not privy to how that film developed, you know. So it may have started with a completely different script. That's true. And then when James Cameron was brought in as director, he brought his own particular ideas to it, you know, and it really was his first big budget film. Mm. Terminator wasn't a big budget film.
Piranha 2 before that for him?
He did Piranha 2, yeah. That's right. That's right. So he had worked in, you know...
Answered all those questions that Piranha 1 left dangling.
Yeah, so he'd worked for Roger Corman, basically, like American International and stuff like that, which is a good training place. And then went from that to getting a medium budget film like Terminator, but, you know, a film that wants to be bigger than it actually is in terms of budget. And then he was given an actual big budget with Aliens. And, you know, But I don't think you can say he cheaped out. When James Cameron does a film, you get whatever he's done, he puts on the screen for you to see him. The movie doesn't go up his nose or anything, you know what I mean? Like, the budget doesn't go.
And then you get, like, the hookup. It's about motherhood. It's about protecting the young.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's good. That's good. Nice one. Nice angle. Good. What do you got for the next one?
Yeah, don't shit on that in the next one. Oh, you did.
Boy. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I was wondering, by the way, like, did we talk about Alien? And then I'm like, it's our most popular shirt. Of course we talked about Alien.
That's right. Even if you wanted to get rid of Michael Biehn from the, you know, in this
Who's he? Who's he?
He's the guy who goes with Ripley into the sleeping chambers.
Oh, okay, Newt. All right.
I can't remember the character's name, but right. The actor Michael Biehn, who is also in Terminator. He's
not a robot.
He's not a robot.
He's a human being.
He's a human. Exactly. Yes. There's so many jokes you could do on that. That would be.
Yeah, go for it.
Just terrible. No, I'm not going to do it.
All right.
Because, you know. You could say you smoked pot and he was a baked bean. But
I like it.
Stop.
What else you got?
No, let's stop. Let's stop there.
You're not going to put a bunch in a row? Do a little string bean?
We went to Peru. It was a lima bean.
Yeah, maybe you should have stopped. Good point.
You kept it going.
No.
You pushed me.
No.
I blame you.
That was a real Alien 4 of jokes as far as jokes.
He was in the Olympics. He was a jumping bean.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you. You want him back. Now keep him.
Okay. So, you could get rid of his character, but you couldn't get rid of Newt. Like, the way they did it was just wrong in every way.
Yeah.
But, this is weird. This is how I remember seeing Alien 3. You came to me and you said, I've seen Alien 3. I want you to see it. And we went together to see that film.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Maybe. Sure. I liked seeing movies with you back then. Yeah.
But you'd already seen it.
Yeah.
Did you just want to see my expression while I watched it?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe it's possible. Maybe there's some good action or something in it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah,
I don't think I like knocked on your door.
You basically did.
And went, Dave,
yeah.
Let's go to the movies.
You did that with Die Hard,
too. Because we didn't have text.
You did that with Die Hard.
Well, I was completely right with Die Hard.
You and another friend came over, Dean came over, and you guys were like, you got to come see this film.
Yeah, well, I was right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. I'm not saying you were wrong, okay. But I'm just saying it was strange that you did it with Alien 3.
I do remember I did do that. I did that with Die Hard. It was like a bunch in a row. Die Hard, Untouchables, and RoboCop. Because I went, these are fun movies to see in a movie theater.
Yeah.
You should see them with people screaming at the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go and go do that.
But I feel that with most films are better to watch in a group setting.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the time that I went with a friend. We had a play date together, this friend and I. And
so this was recently?
No. Why do you say that?
Boyish charm.
So then, this is a while ago, because this is when the Vanny's Cinema was still in existence. Okay. And so we just decided, let's just randomly go there. Like, we don't know what's playing, but we'll just go there and watch whatever's on.
Nice.
And so we showed up, and they were playing a double bill, Douglas Sirk's The Magnificent Obsession. Have you ever seen that film?
Nope.
With Rock Hudson and Jane Wyman.
Okay.
It's an interesting film. It's Douglas Sirk did kind of like three films in a row. One was All That Heaven Allows. Also with Rock Hudson and Jane Wyman, where she's a housewife, a middle-class housewife, who is a widow, and she falls in love with this kind of working-class artist who's mm-hmm. played by Rock Hudson. And it causes a lot of problems because her friends, who are part of the sort of hoity-toity social circle, want to reject her, start shunning her because of this romance. It's an interesting film. And then I can't remember the other one that he did, and then there's Magnificent Obsession. And in that movie, Rock Hudson is like a reprobate.
He's a near-do-well.
He's a wealthy jerk. And he, through some sort of accident with a car door, as I remember it, he blinds a woman.
Oh, geez.
Played by Jane Wyman.
Oh, gosh.
And he's so upset by this that he just kind of drops everything and he goes on this sort of to find himself, like kind of leaves. And then he meets a man who smokes a pipe.
Right.
And I quite clearly remember this. And this man gives him a talk. And it's kind of a spiritual talk. And I don't know if it mentions God or just sort of a general kind of spiritual talk.
Right.
And then Rock Hudson becomes a doctor. And then he cures her of her blindness.
He's Doc Rock.
He is Doc Rock. And he cures her of her blindness. And that, but see, when I saw the film, it's a beautiful film. It's this Technicolor film, very lush, very, very interesting. But when I saw it, the audience was laughing at it.
Oh.
Because they'd gone there as kitsch, not as as something to watch and enjoy. I just walked in the door. I didn't know what I was seeing. So I just walked in. My friend and I walked in, and we just watched this movie. And I was enjoying it, but people around me were snickering at it. And I was getting really mad because it seemed, like, why are you here? to see a movie and you're just laughing at it. Like, it was making me mad. Because it's not a bad movie. It's not right. like a, it's not like it wasn't Plan 9 from Outer Space or something. It was a good film. You know, okay, yes, it had a, it embodied the 50s in ways that we can't comprehend any longer.
Yeah,
you know?
People being blinded by car doors.
Yeah, I mean, that's terrible that yeah, when that happens.
Hasn't happened recently.
It can.
Being blind by a
not
car door?
Ever happen, but you know, you just
sure,
never know, right?
Yeah.
So
nowadays, people can get blinded with science.
We well, in the '80s, it was very common.
That's right.
You know, but fortunately, there was Rock Hudson to cure them.
Well, also people back then they would get blinded by the light.
That was more the '70s.
Okay, so in the '70s, you got blinded by the light, then you got blinded with science.
Yeah.
And then anything else?
What
well, in the '80s, people would miss you blind.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
That's Culture Club.
Okay, miss you blind.
Yeah, you know, I'll miss you, you know, miss me blind. Any other blind songs?
Can't think of any.
Okay.
Can't think of any.
Blind Melon had some hits in the 90s.
Yes.
Okay.
They did. They were kind of a one-hit wonder.
Mm-hmm. Then they peed on an audience member or something. Some peed
that
on someone
happened
from
here,
the
yes. Shannon Hoon, the lead singer of the band, who was...
Yeah. My sister got a couple of drops on her.
Really?
Yeah.
And she never bathed again.
She did not care for it. She did not like it. Not pro the guy taking a whiz on the audience.
Yeah, no. He made a mixture tape. Anyway. Oh. Sorry. So, yeah, I was really upset by that. And then the second film in the double bill was a Fassbender film.
Mm.
Werner Fassbender, which I'd never seen his films before either. And then everyone was very serious because this movie was subtitled. So now we don't laugh anymore. Now we have to watch this film and be very
except
serious.
Except you're anymore. Going, har, har! You're all of a sudden, you're a De Niro Cape Fear remake with your cigar in the front row.
They're speaking German!
I kind of like it.
You like me doing that?
Yeah. I like being a jerk.
It was would have been good, actually. That would have been funny to do that, actually, because I didn't enjoy the Fassbender film. I left. Would you get coffee while I'm talking?
No, I really can't. I'm sorry.
That's right. It's involuntary. Yeah, so it's just weird. Like, that's not a good place to watch a movie with a
but
crowd.
But you don't mind when it's like, say, a gentleman heckler's night where
No, that's fine. Because you're going there.
To.
Yeah.
We're all intending to laugh.
But you remember in the early glory days of the Rio, we would go to the horror night quite often.
Yes.
And for some reason, people there thought it was an opportunity.
They were high.
Whatever
they
their excuse
were very
was,
high.
Okay, but still, that doesn't give you license to yell out a funny in quotation mark comments during a movie.
Yeah, some movies.
So
as long
thought,
as you're all cool with everyone yelling, yeah, but,
yeah, that's fine. I mean, if you go yeah. to you know if you go to Rocky Horror Picture
Show, and I don't
show,
mind someone doing a woo, I'll,
sure.
I'll take
oh,
that.
Oh no, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
I'll
great.
Take a little of that.
I mean, if you go to Rocky Horror Picture Show, it'd be ridiculous. Someone
oh,
stood up
that,
and said,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
"Who is throwing toast?" You know, like. I just got squirted with a water
I
gun.
I will even take a... Don't go in there! I'll even take one
yeah,
of
yeah.
those. I'll take
oh my
one
gosh.
Of those.
You know, like, and you don't get that very often up here, where we're very closed in sort of people. But like I was talking about a little while ago, where we went and saw Frozen at a theater in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of talking to the screen. And not in a bad way.
Dave, you got
to
let it go.
I'm not mad about it. I enjoyed it.
Let it go.
It was great.
Just let it go.
I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to hold on to it dearly, close to my heart. Because it was a great experience. Have people go, like kids or people in the audience just go, do that thing. You know, the only time I've ever experienced that was this very unfortunate time when I saw Sex and the City 2, which, by the way, there's no. It's not an accident that rhymes with poo. And
Lawrence of my labia.
does that say that in the...
Yeah. In the trailer, in the movie. It's there.
I forgot. That's terrible.
Yep.
But the best part of that film, I just want to make a brief aside. The best part of that movie is
okay.
Four friends, four dear friends who
yep.
love each other very much.
For some reason. Four hateful women.
Four shrewish.
Who died in the last film, don't realize it, have been sent to hell. Don't realize that's the cause of the heat. Wandering the desert of
yeah.
their own sins.
But they go on this plane. Like they get on this, they go to this trip to Qatar or Kuwait or wherever, I don't know
sure.
exactly where it was. But they get on this plane and they sit in little separate capsules from each other and don't speak to each other for an entire flight. They get off the plane, they get into four separate cars, driven to a hotel to their four separate suites. Ah, togetherness. Nothing like it in the world. But anyway, we were watching this
rich,
film.
They're rich, right? That's the idea behind it, right?
But they're not rich. They're just living a rich life because someone is paying for all this for them.
Well, that's what they're doing then. They've got to take advantage of
it's
it
all. It's
for
you and the audience to live vicariously through them, right?
Yeah, you want to be alone, right? But know your friends are over there.
So we were watching the film, and there's a scene where it was a situation where Carrie was in a bit of a dilemma.
She's the lead. She's Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker. SJP, as we call her in the business. Right. She's
the wife of Bueller.
Still?
I would say so. Okay. Is that something gone south there?
I don't know. I heard they were breaking up.
You planning on making a move?
Maybe.
Okay.
So then there's a scene where she's like, should I tell this, you know, and she's going to tell her friend and, you know, sort of stressful and whatever like that. And this lady behind us goes, don't tell her, Carrie. Don't tell her. She got so into the film that she was talking to the screen, which is great. Just a great moment. Because the film's so horrible. But it was just wonderful that she was so involved in it.
I would be very curious if they did a Gilmore Girls movie, how much yapping there would be at the screen.
Why?
Because people who are into Gilmore Girls are really into Gilmore Girls. By the way, here goes a siren. So everyone please take a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what it is? Is it police, fire, or ambulance? If you said ambulance, then you've been in an ambulance. You're okay.
If you said ambulance, you must be a lawyer.
Oh, maybe that's also true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I think like that's one of those shows that people who like it really like it. Like my mother-in-law has watched. She says she watched all the episodes 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
When we got her Netflix, she's watched them all, and she was so happy they're making new ones.
Yeah, with Adam Sandler, Happy Gilmore Girls.
Oh well, listen, we've talked about this before.
Okay,
I get a royalty from Happy Gilmore.
Okay,
so I'm not going to slam Adam Sandler.
I'm not slamming him.
All right,
I just made a joke.
I get a couple Happy Gilmore of, is I a get movie? A couple of nickels.
Gilmore Girls.
Not every so often, and I'm not going to burn that bridge. All
see
right.
See what I did there?
I'm not making fun of Sandler. I'm not making fun of Casper. Those are two things that have helped the rent every so often.
So I just want to go back a little bit.
All right, let's go way back.
Go way back. So are
hey,
you,
Dave? Come see Alien 3. Hey, Dave. I know you're in there. Dave. What are you doing in there?
Dave's not here.
Oh, well, that is way
classic.
Back.
Classic.
Hey, Dave, what's a good blind song that's going on right now?
Three Blind Mice.
Oh, wow. Yeah, sure. What's that, like 40s? 30s?
I have no idea.
Is it a traditional number?
I think it's anonymous. I think it dates back to time before people wrote songs.
Oh, man.
They're just there.
Wouldn't that be a great concert? The Monsters of Anonymous. And it's just all the anonymous songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Monsters of Public Domain.
That's a lot of great songs.
Sure. All right, but go ahead. You want to go way back?
I want to go way back. I still want to talk about.
But if we're going way back.
Yeah.
That's another drink.
Oh, everybody. No, I'm not going that far back. This is something we were talking about earlier in the show.
Spit out the drink, everybody.
Please, just spit it out. Back in your cup.
All right.
Wait till that ambulance goes by.
Okay.
That show, Alternative Jonathan Jones. So, are you looking forward to that?
Alternative Jonathan Jones.
Is that what it's called?
Yes. It's about a guy named Jonathan Jones.
Yeah.
And he's got an alternative lifestyle. Actually, John Jones.
John Jones.
With
the Martian Manhunter?
Is the Martian Manhunter. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
He would be an interesting idea for, you could do a lot with that guy. He can turn you into anybody. Yeah.
Can't he do too much?
Yeah.
Isn't he kind of like the vision then that
pull
it's
it back.
Too, yeah, too much.
You got to pull it back a bit. Yeah, you're right. He's telepathic. He's Superman strong, heat vision, can change into anything.
Sure.
Too many things. You're right.
Yeah.
Intangible.
Mm-hmm.
Too many things. But I like that he...
He can play all of Kermit's songs in a banjo.
But he...
He's also green, so...
Sorry, I'm having... let me explain my health issues right
okay,
now.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so what's going on is...
This only can happen in Canada where we have, you know, our health care system is so in such dire straits.
Yeah, that's right. Because... Justin Trudeau has appointed Mark Knopfler as the head of Health Canada, and now we're really in the dire straits.
That's right.
So that's the way you do it.
Surgeons of Swing.
I had – sure. Good. I like it. Any other dire straits, deep cuts you could do? Come on. That's the thing. Only deep cuts for the surgeries.
Yeah.
No, here's what was going on with me. I went and I did the James Bond show, and then it was like after that, I got sick.
Yes, we talked about that last week.
Right. Well, I didn't. I got sicker after last week, like really sicker.
So after like, after the stress of James Bond,
yeah,
you got sick.
I got sick.
Then after the stress of last week's podcast, you got even sicker.
I was sick of that podcast. No, last week's podcast was quite good. And by the way, thanks to everyone who wrote in about last week's podcast.
Yeah, that was
very,
nice.
Very sweet.
That was
nice. I tried to write back to most of you.
I missed
but
that.
I've been sick. So, yeah, I got a...
And lazy.
I got like some sort of infection or whatever, bobbity boobity boo. And it's one of those where like I've had in the past, I've had.
You have an infection.
Well, I bobbity boobity boo.
Okay.
I've had pneumonia and I know what that feels like. And it felt like I was heading towards there. So basically I had about a week where the second I put my head on a pillow, coughing violently.
Okay.
Like, so I'm getting like an hour or 2 hours sleep a night to where I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
So my sister-in-law gave me the advice because she's got bronchitis and she was told by her doctor, listen. Okay. All cough syrup, because I was taking cough syrup, all cough syrup is bullshit. Because cough syrup soothes your throat, and then it just goes down your throat, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
The only thing that'll stop a cough is, what's the only thing that'll stop a cough besides just time?
Fever?
Sure. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Feed a cold, stop a fever with a cough.
No.
Yeah, what?
It's feed a cold.
Yeah.
Cough a fever.
Yeah, that's what they say. No, it's codeine. Codeine basically is a relaxant.
Oh, okay.
And so it relaxes the...
So you've been injecting codeine.
Yeah, which is silly. And singing
singing the Buffy St. Marie song.
All right.
Codeine. Yeah.
Which is?
I don't know. It's a song called Codeine by Buffy.
Is that the same as the Dolly Parton song?
Probably. She probably covered it.
Okay, here's...
Also famously covered by the Charlatans.
All right. I was... So is the actual song... All right, let's break this joke down, because I was going to do a separate joke, and it's now been completely derailed. But we'll get into this. So is there an actual song called Codeine by Buffy St. Marie?
Yep.
Okay.
Because she was addicted to codeine.
Sounds good. Here's the...
Because she had a terrible cough.
Right.
And had to start injecting it in order to get rid of the cough.
All right. I'm still on 2 spoons a night. But here's...
Well, a lot to inject.
But it was...
So you have to cook it on the spoon? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, my God.
What?
So here's what's up. Yeah, let me get to my stupid joke because it's not great. So when my sister-in-law tells me this, I got to like – and here's the thing. I'm crazy with deadlines right now. So crazy with deadlines. But my brain's fried because I'm getting an hour's sleep a night.
Yeah.
So I've got like about an hour that's good during the day where I'm sane and then I'm just coughing like a maniac.
I'm glad I'm wasting it today.
Oh, this is the thing. Like I'm starting to slightly choke. But I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm better today. Okay. So anyway, she tells me this. You got to get some codeine from your doctor. I'm like, well, I can't ask my doctor for codeine. I'm going to go to my doctor and I'll see what's up.
Yeah.
And it's one of these where I've got to take the bus to the doctor and you don't want to be that guy coughing ugly cough on the bus. Because
that's like no one else in the bus.
Oh, they hate you though. It's just you're the worst. And it's so busy the bus to get there. So anyway, I get there and
do you think of the movie Outbreak with all your saliva flying?
Well, here's the thing. He looks in my throat and he does this one. Whoa! So that's not good, right?
I had to laugh off mic.
Yeah.
I was
so he gives me the codeine and I got to do the what's happened is
my
sinuses. I got a little something, but now what I got to do with the sinuses is do the irrigation thing.
Sure. You got 2 piles of codeine. You snort it up.
That's right. Buffy St. Marie style. I got to do the old, water up the nose.
I think you're thinking Jolene, Dolly Parton.
Dude, there's again, this is the joke for fuck's sake. It's okay. I've been dining out on this joke for 2 days straight, so it's okay. Anyway. So anyway. 5 or 6 times a day, I got to shove the water up my nose, saline. But yeah, well, and then I take the codeine. But when I take it, I do the codeine. There. So anyway, that was a long way to get to that.
Did I actually steal it?
Yeah. For fuck's sake! No. First of all, I was taking my dog. I was taking my dog Jolene for a walk, and you went. You mean codeine and pushed the dog into traffic? And we had to walk codeine for a while. Then I chased down Jolene, picked it back up, and I was like, I'm going to present it to the nice people.
So
and then once again, you shoved it into the woods where it got eaten by a bear. And then I had to drag its carcass out and wiggle it for the people and pretend it was alive. And now all the children are crying.
I feel so bad.
And it's okay.
I'm so sorry.
But yeah, I had my first kind of good night's sleep last night with the codeine. And it's nice. So, I'm still a little bit pooped.
Yeah.
But every so often I'll start to choke a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what's going on. So that's why every so often I go. Oh, and the side thing, which is fun.
Yeah.
So I'm doing this irrigation thing is about every hour or so, water pours out of my nose randomly.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So you're just sitting watching television?
And then whoosh. Oh, television. I wish out. And about at a shop or doing errands, and then whoosh, Just comes right out of one nostril.
That's great.
Great.
You should be celebrating that.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah. It's just like, what's that about? When have you seen that happen? Terrible. Anyway, I'm getting better, folks. And boy, I got to do deadlines. Holy shit. Oh, it's harsh. It's harsh. Ugh, scared. They're coming up. They're coming up hard.
They're coming up hard? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, real soon?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're... Still haven't got a contract for certain things, though. I can't talk about that. But I can say, like, both me and, power went on across the street. There were some power problems, and they went on across the street. Anyway, we're a lot of people who are in my company are waiting for contracts right now.
Okay.
Let's just say that. So we're a lot of, like, huh? Every day? Nothing. Huh? No, nothing. Okay.
So just because they're just the these things that are waiting to get signed, people are looking at them. They're going through the
Everyone's looking and they're looking slow.
Yeah,
looking real slow. And then they're rechecking and they're rechecking. Well, slow. I guess and then we check things.
You know what? That's probably a good thing.
Is it?
Well, you wanted to make sure it all passes muster.
Is it muster?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's nice to get paid. Sometimes it's nice to sign a contract and get paid too. Yeah. When everything's passing muster.
Yeah.
You know what else is passing? Well, the rent passes muster.
You're sick. You need that muster plaster.
I do. Oh, boy. What is a mustard plaster? Like, how does that
I think
work?
It's like a liniment that's like a hot liniment that you would put, like a hot compress that you would put on your chest or whatever that would warm it up like you would do with whatever, like a rub. Nowadays, you would use like a rub. You instead of making
would
one yourself.
Would it be a homemade thing?
Yeah, yeah. Instead of
so when you say mustard, what would they put on it?
Like hot mustard.
Like a hot mustard.
Yeah.
Like an actual mustard.
Yeah.
From a jar. Onto a plaster.
I would assume so.
Not
would,
mustard seeds.
Or would they maybe use seeds? I don't know. Are mustard seeds
grind
that hot,
mustard
though?
Seeds?
I don't know. You're getting ahead of me.
What do you know?
Exactly.
You know nothing.
I didn't live then.
I'm an angry drunk now. I'm on my codeine. Buffy had a point. Codeine. How does codeine go, the song?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I really don't know. I've heard it, but it's one of those songs that it doesn't really have a great tune because you're not, you know, you're not going to like pop up a song about drug addiction. So it's, you know, it's kind of a lugubrious.
If you don't want to pop up a song about drug addiction, there's a lot of songs you're going to miss out on. Then it's all blinding songs. That's all. That's the only alternative.
Those are two things.
That's it.
But most, there's not, are there a lot of songs about drug addiction that are really like, you know,
maybe they're pro.
You jump around white lines, I guess, maybe the.
Cocaine.
Do you know the song White Lines by Grandmaster Flash? Remember that song? Which started off as a celebration of cocaine. And then the people on the label said, wait a second. Here's an idea. Don't celebrate cocaine. So we'll call it White Lines, bracket, don't do it. But a lot of the stuff in the song is still kind of celebrating cocaine.
Yeah, a little bit.
So it's all kind of stuff like about how much you can get done and it's so much fun and party this and party down and da da da. But don't do it because then you're in trouble. Yeah, it's kind of.
Understood.
There's a song on Malcolm McLaren's Duck Rock. Remember that famous album, everybody? Which was kind of a very pressing album because it was kind of, you know, Malcolm McLaren wasn't one to resist.
Duck around.
To duck around, that's right. Thank you for keeping our non-explicit rating going. And he, you know, he saw like a New York culture, something he could exploit.
Right.
And so he did. Just jumped right in there. So it has like double Dutch songs on there, like kids jumping rope and stuff.
Oh, which, right.
Yeah. And, you know, it uses rap. It uses mixers and stuff like that. And there's a song. There's a kind of a remix of Buffalo Girls by the world famous Supreme Team that were radio DJs in New York.
Okay.
And, but there's a cut of them talking to a girl on the phone who loves their show. And they're like, you know, what do you love about the world famous Supreme Team? And da, da, da. And she says, you know, she listens to the show at this time and this time. They're like, well, how can you listen to the show at this time and this time? She goes, too much of that Snow White. And I'm like, man, that is not, should that be on there? Like even then, like in the '80s, and people kind of go, wait a second. Do we be encouraging teenage girls listening to radio to be doing Snow White? Too much of that Snow White.
Yeah, I mean, if it was Canada, that would mean you're snowed in and you have nothing to do.
That's right. I got nothing to do. I can't get
down.
Out of here.
Yeah, we can't.
It didn't mean that. It didn't mean that in New York. No.
Well, no. I'm sorry to hear that they're on the drugs.
Anyway, Duck Rock's a pretty good album, everybody.
You know what I didn't?
With a great cover.
This is me being, okay, I'm going to lead into something and I'm going to say something that was kind of like a happy surprise over this surreal week.
Yes.
Something, and you'll probably get to it anyway, because that's what you do. You're like a truffle pig that just like will just dig and find it immediately.
Yeah.
But something I don't like when the DJs do is when they do parody songs. I really dislike parody songs. I like Weird Al Yankovic, but I dislike a parody song.
So you don't like Disco Duck?
Not a parody song. That's just a silly song.
It's just a silly song. So you're okay with that?
I'm fine
okay
with a silly song.
Okay with
just
the novelty
made,
song.
Made up a song.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's like a lady in red, but it's a lady named Fred. dancing cheek to stubble, that kind of thing. And they do the whole song, and it's annoying. But
that's kind of bad.
It is, and I think they do it here. I think they call it Twisted Tunes. And they put a lot of effort into it.
Yeah.
A lot
they
of
do, don't they?
A lot of effort.
Yeah, they do that on which is weird. They do it on the sports radio station.
Okay.
So the morning people have it. And I think because...
People love it. They eat it up. They love it. They really? Love it. They play it again, they say. They play it again.
So it's different than me who turns it off.
Oh, that's just... But yeah. But here's where I'm a hypocrite. Because speaking of the James Bond show, we had a... We did a parody song in it that I sang about Kingsgate Mall, which is a local mall.
Right.
We did to Skyfall.
Turns out it's very topical.
So here's the thing with that is there's a Vice article apparently about Kingsgate Mall. Mm-hmm. That comes out.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, this is an opportunity. So I take the video and I put it like in the comments thing.
Yeah.
Well, now House of Fire, it's like got 10,000 views.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and then what happened was then the
peak... I don't suppose you mentioned Sneaky Dragon in
any of this. Not yet. The Peak radio station in town picked it up and plugged it. Then CKNW picked it up and plugged it. Then this politician, who I disagree with in town all the time, has been pushing it hard, which was delightful because I got to... Because she didn't know... Because I've been quiet about who it is.
Yeah.
Like, we don't say anything about who it is on there.
Okay.
You know, it's just like, we're just this thing out of nowhere. Don't want to give any reveal, whatever. But I've been sort of revealing it now.
Yeah.
Just so I can plug, like, Vicky, who directed it. Vicky
okay.
Mann.
Yeah.
But so she did this real hard plug about this, you know, really good, video. And I went, oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it. And I know that just steamed her clams. That, it was like, ah, you don't like me. And, you gave a compliment. You didn't know. Ha! There you go. That's good. Nice.
Got it. Well, 10,000 views, that's really good.
It's been pretty neat. Yeah. It's like in a week. Mm-hmm. So it's been very surreal where like, I wake up, you know, with my hour and I'm just staggering and, why? I went up 2,000 views today.
Yeah.
What's happening? Why? There's another news article. Is this real? It's asleep. Back up. Another one. Why are people covering? Yeah.
That's great. So at the same time, do you feel like a big hypocrite that you have a parody song that's,
Do you know what? I think we did it in a charming, small way that I think it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We didn't use like, oh man, it just looks like such a budget for there.
It's and amazing. Nothing,
but people enjoy it. Yeah. People like Twisted Tunes, knock themselves out. It's fine.
But you know, nowadays with Pro Tools and such things, it's probably one guy in his basement just knocking it together.
Well, it amazes me that Al Yankovic can still survive and thrive and have his like best-selling album ever because like everyone can do it.
Yeah.
And yet he does it better. So there you go. You'd think like more people would do it.
Yeah.
Why not?
What's your favorite Weird Al Yankovic song?
My favorite Weird Al Yankovic song.
Because unlike me,
you know what? I'll tell you.
Okay.
On almost every one of his albums, the one that I enjoy the most is the polka medley.
Oh, so that's your favorite song?
I like the medley. Yeah, I think probably the '90s grunge polka medley was probably my favorite of a bunch. Though I like a lot of his I like a lot of his original songs too.
Yeah.
I can't think of any at the moment, but I do enjoy them when I hear them.
Yeah. See, I can't. I never owned an album, so I'm merely reacting to the video. That's the problem for me.
And many of the the songs I think you would probably like best do not have videos.
Hmm, interesting.
Except for Now, where he did a video for, I think, every song.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite that I know of is Jurassic Park, to the tune of MacArthur Park,
the
dinosaur freakout.
Yeah, the one that was really impressive. Like, that just as a comedian, you just step back and just go, oh, fuck off. Like, because he already did, like, Yoda, which was to Lola. You know, and it was like, yeah, that
sounds painful,
that's
but
good stuff.
Okay.
But then he did like the first Star Wars prequel, to American Pie, and it was bang on perfect. Like it was just he just told the whole fucking story.
Yeah,
it was exactly right. It was funny, good internal jokes, moved the story along at a good pace. It really worked with it. It was kind of touching. Makes you like the movie, even if you don't like the movie. It's like, God damn it, man, that's good shit. Well done, you. Hooray. Top of the morning to you, Governor. Tip my hat, and I'll be on my way this way, doing my rinky-dink video.
Excuse me, now it's my turn to choke.
Okay.
I have a bit of a cold, too.
Would you like some codeine?
I will have some later.
All right, we'll put some on some pizza.
I'll snort a little later on.
All right. Can I get the ham and codeine pizza, please? Thank you.
With the béarnaise sauce.
In Canada, it's your right.
To have?
Ham and codeine, if you want.
Why is that a right?
Well, you know, that's Trudeau.
He's
not
to blame.
One, his old man.
Oh, that's right. He legalized codeine.
Now, I noticed you were scribbling something down.
No, it's for later. It's for later. Don't worry.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. I wasn't scribbling anything.
Dave, it is later.
Please pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. No, it's for later. Later.
Okay. Don't worry. After the show later?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. It's just something I thought of.
All right. That's fair enough.
It's all right.
That's fair enough. Sure. All right. Is there anything else? Is there anything else you want to address on this show? Anything that you've been doing? Anything you've been seeing? Anything? We got some nice reactions to the stuff you talked about last week.
Yeah. I just want to say one thing about that, which is that how would I say this? I didn't, when I was telling those stories, I didn't want Lisa to come out looking bad. Like, I felt like I said, you know, she gave me this ultimatum, which made her sound like she was being the heavy in that situation. But that's not what it was about. She was trying to, you know, I was in this deep slough of despond,
right,
despair. She said, listen, you need to do something to get out of it. And, you know, I need to make you do this thing. So
I've in that situation, I've been the heavy and mm-hmm. I've left.
Yeah.
Because I knew I was feeding into something that wasn't healthy. And yeah. So, yeah, I did split out of one of those things. So, no, I don't think that necessarily makes anyone look bad.
Okay. I just wanted to say that because, you know, it wasn't, you know, obviously we've been together for a long time. Mm-hmm. So we get along famously.
I will agree with that. Yeah. Were you okay with the reactions you got to it and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know.
What do you think?
Well, it was a very soul-bearing episode, I thought. I thought it was very, you know, one where like, oh, okay, a lot of stuff is being presented. It's interesting. It's like after doing 200 episodes, it's like, well, what else is there to do? Oh, there we go. Oh, this apparently. All right. Good. So, well, yeah. I wanted to know if you felt, it was one of those where like you felt after the show, oh, I shouldn't have said that much. Or I'm glad I feel good that I talked about that. Or if you just erase it from your memory when you're done and like, yeah,
I basically do that. I mean, I have to listen to it again, which is a real bore, you know, especially a show like that where there's I don't think we had enough jokes in it. So I was like, ugh, who are these two idiots? Shut up. But yeah, that's my reaction. But, you know, I've already heard the show, so.
Yeah. No, it's just, I like reactions we got on the Sneaky Dragon page. I like the emails that we got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just, it was nice. It was nice having that kind of thing. It was nice just, you know, how much you trusted the audience with that kind of stuff. And it was like, it was good. And of course, it was nice that you talked a lot because I had a fever and I was going crazy. So, you know, I think me for the whole thing, it was like you were talking about, and here was a very tough part in my life. Now, Ian.
I didn't feel like that at all. I thought, I don't know, maybe I felt like I kind of hogged the show, but that's all right.
I actually have a hard time listening to shows where I'm sick because I actually feel sick listening to them.
Really?
I hear that voice and it gets me into that sick mindset. Okay. I remember how I felt.
Yeah.
And then I go, I can listen to other people who have a cold or something. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Sure. But if I look at footage of myself when I'm sick or I hear myself when I'm sick, I'm immediately back to that.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're very easily suggestible.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I'm just really happy that no water has fallen out of my face during the course of this.
That would be great.
Oh. Well, if I was a betting man, I would just like lay money on what nostril it would come shooting out of.
That would have made the show.
Yeah. After this, we're going to go get a little pizza and bring it to my place. And I am legitimately worried to be talking to somebody face to face for any period of time and relax.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then it'll just be like splash.
Shh.
But you should just use your pizza to catch it.
I'm ordering the pizza. Did I bring a pizza in with me to the pizza shop and go,
this when is you're the at the pizza
of,
shop getting
this
it.
This is the type of pizza I would like to get.
I'm sorry.
I brought you an example
misunderstood.
Pizza. Last time I was here, I froze a piece of the pizza that I like so much.
Don't you do
so
that?
So I brought it in.
And put in a piece of wood, mount it, and bring it in just to show them like this, like that again. That's what I like. Because I can't remember what you call it.
You mean this moldy thing that you got there? It's a half-eaten thing? Yeah, give me that.
You do like the body art thing. What is that thing? Thing at Science World or whatever, you know, where they take the bodies and they mold them in plastic or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they got that now, but they've got it with animals, which I dislike.
Why?
Because
they didn't donate their body to science?
Yeah, that's it. Oh. Like the people who did it, let's just hope. Yeah. Let's hope that the people who did it did it by choice and didn't do it for any other reasons.
Yeah.
But the animals didn't go, hey, do me like that, you know? So that's a thing. Mm. You know, I know it's science.
Yeah.
I know it's straight out science, but I know the guys, they didn't go, oh, you're going to do the science thing? Yeah. All right. Let's sign this form and bang on head, kill you, fill you with plastic, shove you out there. No, they didn't do that. But I don't think they waited for the animals to die of natural causes. Maybe they did. Maybe they hang around the vet and go, sure. You got a deer? You got a moose kicking around?
They just drive around really fast in the
it's
countryside.
It's possible. I'll read the story about it.
Mm-hmm.
I got free passes to go
Oh, you're going to go see it?
I'm probably going to go see it. Yeah, but I'm.
Is it got like a fold a cow that's like a million like a bunch of little pieces like a
maybe
like a deck of cards?
Yeah, cow? They seem to like doing that.
The
don't
deck
they?
Of cows.
Why did that get me, you bastard? We've never met before, right? Look at this deck of cows. Okay, pick one of them. All right, now.
Find the cow.
Now shuffle the cow up. All right, now I'm going to guess what part of the cow you picked. Was it the left teat? It was the left teat.
How did you know? How, everybody.
Now let's go to Penn and Teller and see if they're fooled.
He points at a window and the card with the teat on it is in the window. And he says, is that your card?
Yeah. And then I'm like all the David Blaine people and go, ah! And I run across the street.
Yeah, isn't that strange? You know what I think they do, though, is they get the reaction before they see the magic trick.
Really?
Yeah, I think they pre-tape the reaction. They're like, I want you to act like you've seen something really amazing that you can't imagine. You know, it's impossible to imagine.
You know what? Yeah. You might not be wrong. You might not be wrong.
Thank you for the most backhanded way of saying that I might be right.
No, here's the thing about David Blaine. Because like some of the David Blaine stuff you see, and I don't want to be a magic ruiner, but you can tell that, this isn't linear.
Yeah.
Because there's people in the audience that move. And like now you're over there, now you're over there. Yeah. Like when he's doing his floaty.
Yeah.
Well, look at where things are.
I can do that.
Yes, you can.
But I can float.
Yeah, that's okay.
I can float.
Go ahead.
Want me to do it for you?
Yep.
Okay. I have to be standing a certain way, though. All right. I have to stand up and do it.
All right.
Also take off my headphones so I don't...
He's taking off his headphones. He's taking off his pants for some reason.
Okay.
Here we go. And, all right. Here we go. Okay. He's going to be standing. This is a great visual for the podcast.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I got you. I got you. I'm blocking. Okay. Yeah, go. Okay. Yeah.
Go.
Yeah. And? Nice. Yeah.
Can you see my other foot, though?
Let me see. Do it now.
Can you see my back?
I can see it. Yeah.
You can?
Yeah.
Like this?
Yeah. Okay, go. Do it. Yeah, go. Yeah, it looks good. Yeah, because the one foot goes behind the other, and it's good.
That's what he does.
That isn't just what he does. Because if you look at the video of him, we're going to spoil this one trick.
Okay. Oh my God.
Dave can float, but he can't land. You see him float, doing the floaty trick, and everyone screams and does the thing. Okay.
Do you have any codeine? I think I've popped my kneecap.
Do I? First one's free. but then they cut to a thing of him just directly floating with both feet off the ground.
Oh, yeah. That's
and mistake. You're looking at like people, and they're standing in the wrong spot, and you're like, sir. Yeah, no, sir, I do not believe this, sir.
Yeah, there's a lot of trickery. Like I say, and I'm quite certain that they go to people and they say, I want you to react like you've seen the most amazing thing that you cannot believe that you're seeing this. And it's just like, it's just crazy. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, though, I think.
You get a lot of stuff of people like running away.
I'm surprised no one runs into traffic. Like, really? Like, you can't have your back to traffic because they're going to, people just scream and leave.
They cut that out.
Yeah, I guess so.
They cut out all the fatalities.
Whenever they do those practical joke videos, and like, this is hilarious. It's a dog dressed as a spider. It's waiting in an elevator.
Yeah.
And here it is, and it looks like it's eating the guy.
Yeah.
And you look at it, and you go like, well, this is bullshit. And I'm sorry to be like a party pooper, because there's like stairs.
You're pooping the party.
There's stairs to either side of them.
Yeah.
You can't take that kind of risk with a person who sees a giant spider. They're going to go running down the stairs and crack their... You can't.
No.
You can't. People will run into traffic. They'll run and... Yeah. You got to do your stunts and you got to do them lame just for laugh style.
Yeah.
That's all you got to
do. Lame just for laugh style?
Yeah. They had one that was like the worst one to me, which was... it looked like there was a guy who had like fallen into like an open thing on the road that was like a rectangle. It was like about door sized, right?
Okay.
And his hat is floating. His hat's floating.
Oh.
So, but just his hat, right?
Yeah.
So, like, he walks around, and then you hear, wah! And then the person walks around the corner, because they heard the guy go, wah! And they saw him walk around the corner.
Yeah.
And now they just see his hat floating.
Yeah.
So, everyone jumps into the thing to rescue the guy. But I saw some people dive into that fucking thing.
Oh.
Like, no! No! You can't! No! Also, you've got stuff in your pockets.
Yeah.
You've got a phone.
Yeah.
You've got precious memories in the wallets. Pictures, things you don't know, important receipts.
Yeah.
You know, that number for your sitter to call her and say, I'm going to be late because I'm soaking wet.
We should look up the statistics for drowning fatalities and see if they've gone up since people started using cell phones. Because I wonder if people hesitate to jump in the water now because they've got a phone in their pocket and then people are drowning.
I think people would have done that because of the wallet situation anyway.
No. What's in your wallet that's so important?
Money.
You can wash money. It's fine.
Are you talking about money laundering?
I've laundered money many times, and it is perfectly fine.
All right.
I just pulled an American dollar out of the laundry the other day, and it was fine.
Did you have an American dollar going into the wash?
Someone did.
Okay, good. Because otherwise, that's pretty good. If you just like,
yeah, that would be great.
You're
be
actually
awesome.
Like getting money out.
I pretty
of the
much
wash.
Regard that as my payment for doing the laundry. As if I find money in the laundry, I'm like, it's mine.
Nice. Listen, let me ask our listeners this. I like to ask them a question at the end of the show.
Okay.
Have you found anything ever in the laundry that you're like, that wasn't mine? And then you get it. Like, I get tiny socks. I don't know where they come from,
yeah.
But tiny socks. There's nothing in the washing machine when I'm putting stuff in. When it comes out, a baby's sock is in there. I don't know if something horrible happened to a baby.
Is that happening at your house?
Maybe. Okay. Maybe it's always happened.
Yeah.
But I got a lot of baby socks,
well,
Dave.
I don't want to talk about sock humor. It feels like we've talked about playing the changes, man. It's like the it's like the two guys crossing the road with a plate glass of conversation.
All right.
What happened to the other sock?
Fair enough.
Where did the sock go?
Fair enough. I'm sorry. I'm a very sick man, Dave.
It's very fine. Sick man. Oh, I'm just saying I don't want to go any farther with it.
Fair. We're not going to go any farther then.
I have to go and get the plate glass and bring it across the road.
Please do.
Yeah.
What a pain. No one has ever said that when it gets broken,
good.
Eh?
That'd be good.
That seems the obvious...
You know what would also be good is if...
Oh, I know what's good. It's a breakthrough it, and it's a French film, and it just comes up. Finetra comes up.
Finetra, I get you. How about if the guys who are carrying the glass get angry at the person and start chasing after them, and they break the glass in the car?
Okay, we're trying to make this... All right, that's pretty good. All right.
Or how about if the car goes through
and
they avoid it, and then it's kind of starting up the hill and runs out of gas and goes backwards through their glass after they start crossing, thinking that it's all right?
How about this?
Okay.
How about they break the plane of glass?
Yeah.
Then you have one of the guys pick up his phone and make a phone call.
Yeah.
And then on the other end of the phone call, it's the piece of glass's family. And you see it's like little pieces of glasses at dinner.
Yeah.
And then you see the mom glass is there, and she drops the phone and it shatters because it's made of glass.
Of course.
And then the little kid, you see the little kid glass, and the little kid glass gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And he's practicing driving, learning how to drive.
Okay.
And then he's doing research, and he's got pictures of the car that killed his dad on the wall. And then he finds it, and then he's like chasing it down. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
He's his own windshield.
Oh, wow. I don't know. Seems a little long.
Well, fuck you then. Anyway, hi, everybody. If you want to write to us, we're at sneakydragon.com. Email is like sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. Yep. That's on your email dial. Mm. So why don't you do the rest? Because I'm choking now.
Okay. You said sneaky dragon, sneaky D. I wasn't listening. I was thinking about something.
And were you trying to think of more window jokes?
I'll just start again. So everybody, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us on our Facebook page, Sneaky Dragon. You can contact us through Twitter at @sneaky_dragon. You can write to us on our Facebook, or sorry, at our website, which is sneakydragon.com. And you can write to us by email, which is sneakyed@sneakydragon.com. Is that good?
Sure, that sounds good. I'm trying to think of like...
Is that okay? Because really, I should be doing it anyway, because this is my show, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of more
interloper.
Window puns.
Oh, you're trying to... Okay.
Yeah.
Sill? Jam?
Well, there's a couple. Like, the one I'm trying to work my way around is I'm trying to do a variation on, you know, why did the tomato turn red? Because she saw the Russian dressing.
Okay.
I'm now trying to think of, like, the window dressing.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what the equivalent of, why are the drapes red? Because they saw the window dress. I got nothing, really.
Yeah, it's too true. So thanks everybody for listening to the show, and I just have one final question.
Oh, wait a second. Why didn't the window work anymore?
Why didn't the window work anymore?
It was Windows 95. It doesn't work well anymore.
Okay, thanks for the computer joke. And just one last question for you is, what did you think of Alias Smith and Jones coming on Netflix?
Passing the blood chill test.
Not passing the what?
The blood chill test?
Bechtel.
Bechtel. Fuck me.